The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position of ONTV's management, staff, or board of directors.
Detroit basketball!
Welcome into Views from the Sidelines. That's Malik Hill. I'm Joey Tysik, and we took a week off last week because I needed to use up vacation time, and so I took a little staycation. But now we're back, and we don't really have a new national champion, do we? UConn does it again. Back-to-back titles. How did you feel about the national championship? You can even go back to the Final Four and stuff if you want. But how was your experience with the tournament, I guess, as a whole this year?
I picked UConn to win.
Mm-hmm.
I saw throughout the year how good they were, how great they were, actually. And it just looked like they were head and shoulders better than pretty much everybody, even when they dropped a few games.
Yeah.
It's just a regular part of the college basketball season. But they were dominant again. And this is probably more impressive than what Florida did in 2006 and 2007 when they beat UCLA and Ohio State, I believe, in back-to-back championships. What Danny Hurley has built with this UConn team, they're like the perfect modern-day basketball program.
Mm-hmm.
The way they play, the number of sets they run, and how easy they make offense look. They play hard on defense. They all know what they're doing. They're just in sync at all times.
Yeah.
They're always in sync. They have a big that can defend and score when he needs to. They have shooters. They have guys that can drop to the rim. They have everything.
Yeah.
Plus a high-level coach.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think people don't realize, when you look at the Blue Bloods and teams that have championships in the past 25, 30 years, UConn has six.
Yeah.
In the past 30 years.
25 years.
Yeah, 25.
Yeah.
No team has more championships than them.
Duke has what? Four?
Five.
Five total. Five total, right?
Yeah. I think in the past 25, they have five.
Okay.
But, yeah. At this point, UConn, they're the best program in the country.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it can be argued.
Yeah. I think we talked about it probably early in the season, but we talked about kind of that, like, new age Blue Bloods of, like, the Gonzagas and UConn, teams like that that have really stepped up in this last, you know, two decades or so.
UConn, they kind of bridged the gap in between the two because, like, Villanova became, like, one of those new ones. Michigan State became one of those new ones.
Mm-hmm.
UConn was a high-level program, like, starting in the 90s.
Yeah.
So they've, for a while now,
they've
been at a high level. They've had some downs.
Yeah.
But their highs have been some of the best highs in college basketball.
I think that's their biggest difference is, like, their lows are very low.
Yeah.
But their highs, it's like they win a national championship. So, yeah, it's crazy. The game was pretty good for the most part. Did you watch all the game?
Yeah. I fell asleep for some of it. Listen, let's keep less Final Fours in the West Coast.
Yeah.
So we don't get, like, tip-off so late.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, off. Yeah. Watched all the first half, first few minutes of the second half, then I started fading in and out.
Yeah.
And then I saw the last 5 minutes.
In general, they need to change the national championship times because, one, on Sunday, I did not realize the women's national championship was in the middle of the day.
It was at 3 o'clock.
I thought it was going to be later. So I was, like, checking for it later, and I'm like, and then I was looking, and they're like, South Carolina wins another title. And I'm like, God damn.
Yeah.
So, and then, yeah, like you said, UConn and Purdue playing into the late hours of the night for us East Coasters. That was kind of tough, yeah, for sure. Especially when the game was, like, it was fun at the beginning. Like, it was close, back and forth. And then UConn just put the nail in the coffin and shut him out. I felt like Purdue tried too hard to go to Zach Edey. I know that's, like, their offense. But they made 1-3 for the whole game, right? Did they make one late or something? For a while, they were like 1 of 5.
I have to check the stats, but yeah, they barely took any threes.
So like
in the first half,
I feel like that's just what UConn wanted. Like, be like, okay, Zach Edey will get his, but we're gonna stop everybody else.
Purdue shot 1 of 7 from three.
Yeah, and to a certain extent, they looked like they were scared to. Now, UConn's defense was super super good at stopping it. But at the same time, I saw some open looks that they passed up just to get it into Edey. I don't know. I felt like you should have changed your game plan a little bit.
Yeah, there were many parts. I feel like Matt Painter doesn't draw anything up for his shooters.
Mm-hmm.
Fletcher Loyer was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
All game. Mm-hmm. For a lot of this tournament, Fletcher Loyer has been uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think he needs to figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever he tries to, like, he pump fakes and tries to dribble into the lane, he looks so much different from like real high level college athletes.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of looks like rec league player. Like his stuff was just getting swatted every time he tried to dribble to drive to the rim.
Yeah.
And he had no chance.
Mm-hmm.
But Lance Jones, who was like their best shooter in this tournament, never really got it going.
Right.
Braden Smith shoots like well over 40% from three for the season. Didn't shoot that much in the tournament. Like, it was all Zach Edey focused, and it got them to the championship.
Yeah.
But you can't win a championship playing like that.
Yeah. They had Stephon Castle on Braden Smith a lot, and I felt like that size difference, because Castle is all of 6'5", maybe 6'6". So he's a big guard. Braden Smith, definitely not.
He's listed
big.
As 6'6", 215.
Yeah. So, like, he's a big guard, and I think he gave Smith a lot of problems, but... It's crazy because UConn now, I think they broke their own record of like the biggest margin of victory for a tournament like as a whole.
Yeah, and they won the most consecutive tournament games by like, I believe it's like 13 plus points,
mm-hmm.
not just double digits, but 13 plus points specifically.
Right, because this year they won, their average margin of victory was like 15 or 16 points, and last year it was like ridiculous. 11 or 12.
Dominating the NCAA tournament, I don't think I've seen a team do it like this.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, too, is that they replaced a lot of guys.
Yeah.
They lost Jordan Hawkins.
They lost Andre Jackson.
They lost their big man, Sanogo.
Yeah, Adama Sanogo.
Yes. So they had to replace all those guys. Now, of course, they still had guys ready to go, but they had to do some roster swaps and stuff and get some guys, and they all worked out really well. But I think, to me, and you can disagree, but I think the biggest guy in that game was one of their smallest players, Cam Spencer, one of my favorite players.
He has been a lights-out shooter for pretty much the whole season. He hits like half of his threes.
Yeah, but he was also the hustle guy. He had like 10, 11 rebounds in that game. He was getting steals. He was causing problems.
He had 8 rebounds.
Yeah.
And 2 steals.
So, like, he was just causing havoc all over the place. And that was fun to watch. Like, the effort that I felt like UConn gave was just that much more than Purdue. So.
Yeah. And all of UConn starters played 30-plus minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They had one person off the bench play over 10 minutes, and it was Hassan Diarra.
Yeah.
They let the starting five just get it done.
Mm-hmm. Now the question is, can they do it again?
I don't even know the last time a team won 3 straight.
Yeah, I don't either.
It might go back to like UCLA in the 60s or something.
Probably. It would have
to
be.
Yeah, no team has been that dominant in college basketball in a very long time.
Yeah, and they're going to have to replace even more, I think, this year. Yeah.
Klingon is gone. I think this was Tristan Newton's last year of eligibility. Cam Spencer's last year.
Stephon Castle is a lottery pick most likely. Like, there's too many guys that they're going to lose. Like, their entire starting lineup, most likely.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Alex Caravan.
Yeah, he was the one I was going to.
Alex Caravan is listed as a sophomore.
Okay.
So he might be, like, the guy next year.
Maybe.
And they had Samson Johnson, the big man off the bench.
He looked good.
He'll probably be their starter.
Mm-hmm.
They had a few other 4-star guys. They'll probably go back into the portal. Danny Hurley has completely mastered mixing recruiting with the transfer portal.
Yeah.
It's like, it's insane how well-balanced they've been.
Mm-hmm. To the Purdue side, I think it's a pretty, like, hot topic right now. Do you think Zach Edey is going to go in the first round of the draft?
Yes.
You think somebody's just going to take a chance? Now, do you think he's going to go back into the first half, or do you think somebody's going to really make a big splash and try to go for it?
I'm thinking between like 15 and 25 probably.
Okay.
Should he go that high? No. But this is going to be like a role player draft.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be many superstars.
Right.
And there's going to be like a winning team that will say, why not?
Yeah.
Just take a shot on a guy that you could possibly put in for a short amount of time that could get you like 6 points.
Yeah.
Funny, 6 easy points.
The funny thing, I think his like NBA comp is Boban.
It might like, be.
Just go in.
Although Boban has even more shooting touch than him.
He does.
Now, but Boban, Zach Edey is a good free throw shooter.
Right. Boban's one of the most efficient NBA players like ever, basically.
Yeah.
He comes in.
Because Zach Edey shot 71% from the line this year.
Yeah.
And 73% the year before.
So he's not bad.
So I even think there's a bit of an element where if you leave him open, he should be able to hit open mid-range jumpers.
Yeah. I think that would be the next development to his game that he needs. He needs just some sort of little mid-range game just to keep the defense honest. But I don't know. I'm torn because I see the potential. It sucks that he's in this era. Because you think back in the early 2000s, he'd be a top pick, which is just crazy how the game changes. But I do think that I agree, like, he could be a really nice role player. I can't think of the perfect team at the moment, but when we get closer to NBA draft, we can talk about it. But just kind of curious. Yeah.
Going beyond Zach Edey, I have a question.
Okay.
That doesn't just deal with Purdue, but Big Ten basketball in general.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for a Big Ten team to win a national championship?
I wrote that down on my list because, again, I heard 97.1 talking about it, so it made me think about it too, though. Can the Big Ten win? Not the way that they're playing. Like, I agree with what people are saying. Like, Big Ten basketball, the way that it's been played is, like, old, gritty, pound the rock in the paint. That's just not how the game is played these days.
The last person that almost did it and should have done it, honestly, if it wasn't for Luke Hancock going crazy in that Trey Burke block, that was a block, called a foul. Michigan should have won in 2011.
Yeah.
And they got back in 2018.
Got torched
They played a bunch of future pros, and they weren't equipped to win that year.
Well, they just
made a good run.
They weren't equipped to stop Dante DiVincenzo.
They weren't. But Jalen Brunson, you had like five or six NBA guys.
Yeah.
But you John Beilein played like just differently enough and like offensively sound to make runs in March. There aren't any Big Ten teams that play like that right now.
No.
And even like Nebraska was kind of like offensively inclined, but they didn't have enough talent to really get over the hump. Like
I would say the closest one for me would be Illinois. They had Terrence Shannon. They had some shooters around.
They didn't have enough besides him and Domask, though.
Right.
Those are like the two, and then everybody else just wasn't ready.
Yeah, they're other role players. Like, Luke Goody is a good three-point shooter, but not to that volume. And I think that's why Purdue was able to make the final this year, was because they upped their three-point shooting. Last year, they shot hardly any. They were, like, one of the lowest percentage. They were one of the slowest-paced offenses. This year, they upped their pace. They upped their three-pointers. And look, they made it to the final. So I think Big Ten teams should take note of that. The other hard part, too, is there's like this weird mix. Like we said we want Michigan State to try to go after more local guys like Purdue does. But at the same time, if you want to win a national championship,
you got to go somewhere outside.
You got to get like one guy at least that's outside, big name maybe.
Well, the Tyson Walker was from the outside.
Yeah.
That transfer portal and recruiting, it could go for both.
Right. But so there's like this weird happy medium with that. They just have to change their ways. And I don't know. I don't want to get into the MSU stuff, but Tom Izzo doesn't seem like he's going to be that kind of guy. The interesting part, though, is Dusty May. What does he do coming to Michigan?
He could be the ultimate wild card. Because, even though we haven't seen anything yet.
He doesn't have like a Big Ten background. He's just coming in. FAU plays at a higher pace a little bit. So,
yeah, from what he said, even in his press conferences, he's noted that, like, he'll sometimes frustrate Michigan fans
mm-hmm.
with how, like, updated and how future, like, future-driven he is with offense.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to get threes up. He wants to run up and down. Like, more just letting his guys play than running a bunch of sets.
Right.
Which is kind of anti-Big Ten basketball.
Yeah. And to me, though, what is – why is that – why would that be frustrating for Michigan fans? Would you be frustrated, Malik, if they change their offense?
If it, if listen, if it's entertaining basketball, that's better than anything we've gotten in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So I don't expect to be frustrated. I expect some at least like decent quality basketball.
And that's something that I've always said about basketball, and I don't want to get into my normal rant, but like a coach can only do so much. Like you can run sets, but at the same time, players are still having to react to these sets. Yeah. If you have like a – it's like – I hate using motion because I hate that everybody runs a motion offense and they're all different.
That's like the base for a lot of stuff right. that people run.
But so like you set up a motion offense and you let the players play within that motion offense. And that's where you find out who has good basketball IQ and stuff. And that's how you get players to learn how to play the game together. Whereas, you know, being robotic and doing the exact same thing every time. So, yeah. I like the idea. I hope more teams do it, but for the Big Ten as a whole, I don't know when they're going to win. This was the closest they've gotten in a while. The last time was would have been Michigan in 2016, right?
18.
Was it 18?
Yeah.
Okay. Before that, Wisconsin in 2015?
Yeah, when they lost to Kentucky.
And so I don't know.
But like, there has to be some type of – if Purdue – they have – Braden Smith is one of the best point guards in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have at least two guards that can really, like, score.
Yeah.
Like, having Tristan Newton and Cam Spencer,
mm-hmm.
that's, like, the perfect balance. Tristan Newton could score off the dribble. Cam Spencer could, too, but he's more of a guy that's going to score off of pump fakes and, like, catch and shoot.
Right.
So,
yeah. And then the last national championship for a Big Ten school, do you know who it is?
Still 2000.
Yeah, Michigan State.
Still 2000.
Like, and that's crazy. Yeah.
Michigan State made it twice, 2000 and 2009, was it?
Yeah.
I believe it was 2009 when they lost to Tyler Hansbrough.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Michigan made it twice.
Right.
And Wisconsin made it once.
Yeah. So Big Ten teams have been close, but just getting over the hump, they can't do it.
Maryland was in the ACC. I forgot.
Yeah.
Maryland wasn't in the Big Ten yet, but right. They won in 2002.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know.
And are we wrong again? Did Indiana win or did they lose? Indiana lost to Maryland, I think, in 2002. Indiana made it, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Right. So if we wanted to take Maryland as an honorary, but even then, that's 22 years ago or whatever.
That's like the gold period of college basketball. Shouts out to Juan Dixon.
Yeah. And then again, when you look at like that Michigan State roster, loaded with NBA talent.
Yeah.
Loaded.
The Flintstones.
Mateen Cleaves, not so much, but great. One of the great college players. But like Morris Peterson was on that team. Jason Richardson was on that team. Charlie Bell was on that team. Like there is names on that team. So I don't know. I don't know when they're going to get back. The Big Ten just doesn't seem in a good place right now. And I don't know, like with Purdue losing Zach Edey, now they always tend to get another 7-footer in their roster. And I know they got
the guy they have on the bench didn't play all season.
He's
we'll have to see how
he might be 7'5", to be honest. I don't know if you watched. He looks taller than
they have
Zach
another
Edey.
Kid committed, by the way, from like New Hampshire or something at 7'3".
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt
it. So they're just keeping it rolling.
They always do that. But they still need to adapt. They need to adapt, and they got close.
They can't expect that this next guy is going to dominate like Zach Edey.
Right.
Because the guys before him, Isaac Haas didn't.
Right.
Matt Harms, neither of those guys did what Zach Edey could do.
And even Zach Edey took a little bit of time, too.
He played early, but it took time.
Yeah, he wasn't that guy right out the gate. And then, so we got Purdue and Illinois. Illinois is going to lose Terrence Shannon.
We both like the like rises of Northwestern and Nebraska, but what can you honestly expect from Northwestern and Nebraska?
And are they going to get the recruiting?
Exactly.
Like Keisei Tominaga, his story's already over. And that was like the big thing for Nebraska. How do they replace that?
Yeah.
So,
like, Northwestern recruits good college basketball players.
Yeah. I did.
They never have those guys that can take you over the top.
Isn't Brad Underwood recruiting AJ Stork to come to Illinois?
Yeah, he is.
That the,
yeah.
Okay. So, AJ Stork's not Terrence Shannon, but
I was about to say Terrence Shannon is better than AJ Stork.
But it's still
AJ Stork is also younger.
Yeah, yeah, he's still a quality player.
AJ Stork is a second year college basketball player.
But I don't know who's going to make that next leap for the Big Ten, because I think Purdue is going to come back down to earth.
Will it be one of the West Coast teams?
That's true.
Because
they're not affiliated technically with the Big Ten culture.
Musselman is at USC.
Yeah.
UCLA is going in the transfer portal to get guys again. Oregon has consistently been good for a while.
Yeah, that's a good point. It could be just, you know, a non-traditional Big Ten team at this point. And that's what might help the Big Ten in general. These teams coming in with different offenses, the traditional Big Ten teams having to play them every year, maybe that pushes the conference, but I don't know. We're going to have to find out a nickname, but the traditional Big Ten teams, that's what I'm going to keep going with.
Yeah.
They need to figure something out.
And there's also some weird cases, like Iowa does not play traditional Big Ten basketball.
Yeah.
They're all about shooting and running and scoring.
But they don't have the
talent to get over the
top.
And they play no defense.
They're like just above Northwestern and Nebraska, I think, where they can get some talent, but they're still below the top schools.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird, weird spot. And I don't know. The only nice thing, I think, is that, like, people were really high on the Big 12 this year. Where did the Big 12 end up?
Listen, it,
at home.
It's a thing of the past at this point, but we're pretty sure Houston would have won if Jamal Shedd didn't get hurt. He got hurt, maybe. Unfortunately.
Yeah, he did.
And that messed up the groove of Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been interesting to see what would have happened.
Kansas didn't have Kevin McCullough.
That's true.
Yeah, the top teams in the Big 12 didn't have
guys. That's a good point. Yeah, I forgot about Kansas. I don't know. But even still, like, a lot of the Big 12 teams kind of fell. The Big 10, they got some figuring out to do. And is there anything else out of college basketball that you wanted to bring up before we move on?
Is Danny Hurley already an all-time great head coach?
That's tough.
Because there's a short list of coaches that have just done what he's done.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, as long as he just has good seasons now.
Because, like, if he's in the top 50 all time,
yeah,
that puts you on an elite list.
Right. I think he just needs a little bit longer of a tenure, and he'll be, like, he doesn't even have to do anything really at this point. He just needs to kind of keep coaching, have some successful seasons, maybe make another Final Four or something. But I think, I think he'd be easily up there.
Yeah, it took Coach K, I think he started at Duke in, like, the 79 or 80. 91, 92 was when he won his back-to-back championships. Jay Wright didn't win a championship until, like, his 13th, 14th year at Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot of guys a long time.
Yeah.
And what is this? Danny Hurley's, like, fifth year at UConn?
Mm-hmm.
Something, he hasn't been there very long.
No.
And he already has them back to dominance.
Tom Izzo's been searching for his second forever.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's accomplishing things very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and he has a long way to go, hopefully.
Right. And now, with UConn being back on top, and it seeming like, you know, it seems like they're getting even better recruiting than they've ever gotten.
Stephon Castle was a five-star kid,
mm-hmm.
McDonald's All-American.
Yeah. Because even after, like, the Kemba Walker era, the Kemba Walker run was the surprise run.
Shabazz Napier's run was almost even more surprising.
Yeah, but after each of those championships, their recruiting didn't, like, rise like crazy.
I think people kind of forget they dropped down to the American for a few years.
Yeah.
Like, they were irrelevant,
mm-hmm.
for, like, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and I think, like, I don't know if it's the Dan Hurley effect, but it seems like people want to come play for him. So it will be interesting to see. They might take over – Well, they're not. It stinks because UConn is not a small school or not like a surprise school necessarily, but I feel like they're going to be that Gonzaga team that you see like every year and you start to grow tired of, although they get over the hump.
Yeah. Also, Danny Hurley turned down the Kentucky job. So
yeah,
I'm pretty sure he's at UConn to stay for a long time.
Yeah. It seems like he's having fun. That's for sure. Which is cool to see. I like the fire that he brings. I think it's fun. All right. Let's shift over to the NBA for a quick second. Give some updates. The Pistons just dropped one of the most random 50 bombs in NBA history. Malachi Flynn, my guy.
He was my guy.
I know.
I was about to say, let's not change the story.
We both,
he can be your guy.
We both like Malachi Flynn.
My first year of like being on the San Diego State train was the Malachi Flynn Aztecs.
Yeah. I always thought he could be something in the NBA as a role player off the bench.
So did I.
Never really turned into that. And then just a couple weeks ago, decided against the Hawks he was going to drop 50.
This, stuff like this shows you how much better NBA players are than the rest of the world.
Mm.
Like Malachi Flynn is like a seventh or eighth man on bad teams.
When people say that the UConn Huskies could beat the Pistons, we laugh.
Amen. Listen, Malachi Flynn couldn't play on the Knicks.
Right.
Goes to the Pistons and drops 50.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I wanted to talk about it a little bit. Do you think the only more random 50-point game to me is the Tony Delk game?
I completely forgot about the Tony Delk
exactly.
game. Like the last extremely random ones I remember were both Timberwolves players.
Yeah.
Corey Brewer,
mm-hmm.
which was just hilarious.
Right.
And good for Corey. And then old Mo Williams
dropping
52.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't forget about Andre Miller
dropping
50 in Dallas.
That's a good one.
That was one that made everybody scratch their heads.
Yeah. Because he wasn't.
Andre was like 33, 34.
He's not a scorer. Yeah.
And
that's
he
a
just
good
lost
one.
It.
Yeah. But, so for me, like, Flynn might be the most because he's the only the third player in NBA history to get 50 off the bench. And he also did not shoot very many threes, which was weird.
I think he hit like 7 threes.
Yeah.
He was like 15 to 26 from the field. It was like an efficient 50-point game.
Yeah. Yeah. It was wild.
Like, this is stranger than the Sadiq one.
Yeah, it was. Because, again, with some of these other guys, like Sadiq, higher draft pick, it's random, but it's not crazy. Corey Brewer, super talented college player, always thought he had potential.
Yeah, became a role player, like, instantly as he
never fully worked out in the NBA. Surprise, but not the craziest thing. Mo Williams, starting to get a little crazier, but at the same time, he played a lot of meaningful minutes in a lot of big games. It's just weird that it happened towards the end of his career. Tony Delk was the weird one because he was.
See, like, I didn't even remember the Tony Delk one.
Tony Delk was, I think, aging at that point too already.
What team was he on?
I think it was on the Hawks.
I think it was the Hawks.
I don't know.
I'll hit Google real quick.
And then
keep going.
Andre Miller, that's the one I forgot about.
Tony Delk's 50-point game. Was for Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
He was a Phoenix Sun.
Even more random.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because Tony Delk on the Hawks was kind of his quote-unquote heyday.
Yeah, Andre Miller had 52 against Dallas in January 30th, 2010.
Dang. Was he playing for the Nuggets at that time? Or?
He was playing for the Trailblazers. Yeah.
Wow.
It's hilarious.
Dang.
He was 34. 34-year-old Andre Miller.
Man. And then the other, like, pseudo-random one is Jamal Crawford in his 40-year-old season or whatever.
That was incredible.
But
that was just him showing how much talent
he
still had.
Right. But that, again, that one's not crazy random because we knew he could do something like that. But
yeah, this one is up there.
I'm trying to think.
Almost number one.
Do you know who the third guy off the bench to score 50 is? Because it's Malachi Flynn, Jamal Crawford, and I think it's some one other person. And I can't think of who it is.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think I could.
Was maybe Corey Brewer.
I think Corey was it Corey?
He might have been starting.
50 points
but,
off.
Because Malachi Flynn did something that those guys didn't, and I can't remember exactly what the stat is. I wish I would have wrote it down.
Nick Anderson.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten that one.
No. I wouldn't have either. And see, even that one isn't as random because he was a really good
he was really talented.
For them. Really good shooter and stuff like that. So, yeah. Malachi Flynn or Andre Miller? Which one do you think is more?
Listen, I prefer the Andre Miller one because he wasn't known for offense.
Yeah.
And he was old and, like, close to getting out of the league soon.
Yeah.
And he just scores 52 out of nowhere.
That's a good point because he was older. Malachi Flynn at least had been known as a scorer at one point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I might agree with that. But Malachi Flynn, he might be number two.
In terms of name, people are going to forget this very soon.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Like, people know Andre Miller.
Yeah.
But they don't remember his 50
no,
much.
I definitely but at least
people know the name Andre Miller.
Right. I forgot he even played for the Trailblazers. Trailblazers,
he played for a lot of. He played for probably 7 or 8 teams.
Yeah, I know he moved around towards the end, but that's wild. Pistons are still trash.
Understatement.
Wizards are still trash.
There's one interesting tidbit on the Wizards. There's one.
Yeah, what is that?
Joey, have you heard?
Probably not.
Of Tristan Vukovic.
No.
7 foot kid, 230. I think he literally started playing. Let me look at his stat sheet. He started playing last month.
Nice.
Like, I don't know what country he's from. He was a second round pick in last year's draft, pick number 42. He hasn't played all year.
Okay.
And since they started playing him, he's averaging 7-4 and 43% from the field.
Hmm.
And, like, he has a little bit of, he's young.
Yeah.
He's 21. And it's something for the Wizards. It's something.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
It is an interesting young piece of a second round pick that you found. Also, Denny Avdia is actually turning into a good player, which I respect him. He needs to get traded. Him and Corey Kispert.
Yeah.
They're both turning into, like, very solid pros.
Yeah, apparently Corey Kispert's been shooting pretty good again.
Yeah.
Which is nice to
like,
see.
Denny Avdia is, like, legit good. Look at his shooting splits. Like, 14, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 50% from the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's a winning player.
Yeah. Is Jordan Poole one of the worst free agent signings of all time?
Yes.
That's top so five. Sad.
It is. It's tragic.
Isn't it crazy how much of a fall off he's had in, what is it, 3 years?
People predicted he would average, like, close to 30
mm-hmm.
on this team just because of his raw talent. And having the ball so much.
Yeah.
And it just went downhill.
And if you look at, like,
he shouldn't have gotten that much freedom.
Something that I saw somebody else point out, I wish I remembered exactly who it was, but Jordan Poole has dipped down in efficiency for the last, like, 3 years. So, like, his breakout season was, what, 2021, I think?
He had the breakout season, and then the next season he felt like he should have had more minutes. And he averaged 20,
mm-hmm.
but he was kind of like in a bad mood for a lot of the season.
Yeah.
And his efficiency dropped.
And then last year with the Draymond thing, it all fell apart. Yeah. So he moved on to the Wizards. People thought he was going to get a whole new lease on life. And he's been awful.
And he's a Washington Wizard.
Yeah. And he has some of the craziest highlights that you'll see out there.
He has his low light tape from this year.
Yeah.
Is going to feed so many negative people on social media forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
A little bit funny, mostly sad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I didn't realize they have Eugene Omarui, former Piston.
Oregon's own?
Former Piston.
Listen, they got,
that tells you that that's bad. The Pistons dropped him, and then the Wizards picked him up. Now, they do have Tyus Jones hurt, which is he's been pretty good, actually, for them. But yeah, there's some bad bottom feeders for the NBA. The one important one that I wanted to talk about, the Knicks losing Julius Randle for the season. That's so disappointing.
It's disappointing, but I don't think with Julius Randle they were making some type of crazy run.
Yeah.
They need him to, like, win more games.
Mm.
But I kind of prefer this team that they have like just watching this team.
Okay.
Like I like watching them more with Julius Randle off the floor. And that's not saying like I wish he'd stay hurt, but
I
just like how scrappy they are, and everybody plays hard, everybody plays a role. Mm-hmm. It's exciting to watch.
Yeah. And Isaiah Hartenstein's been pretty good for them, to be honest. Is he starting now with Julius Randle? Yeah. How do you feel about that? Have you seen the interactions with him, Jalen Brunson, and Josh Hart?
Yes. We're going to move on from that one. Have you noticed one of your guys is out for the rest of the year?
Probably. A lot of my guys get hurt.
The redheaded shooter in Sacramento.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kevin Herter.
I know that broke your heart. Him and Malik Monk are out for the year.
Yeah.
That makes me more sad than the New York stuff. Like, I really like these young Kings. Mm-hmm. And them losing not just Kevin Herter, but their best scorer off the bench.
The worst part,
yeah.
And I'll admit, Kevin Herter has been having he had a tough season. Yeah. Wasn't shooting very good. Kind of saw it in the playoffs last year even. The sad part is Malik Monk was killing it.
He was cooking.
When he came in. As soon as Kevin Herter went down, he stepped up, and now he's hurt. That's a good point. That's an unfortunate injury.
Yeah.
My other team, though, the Pelicans. I still don't know how to feel about them. Brandon Ingram has been hurt for a while, but Zion's been balling, and that's good news. The bad news is he's doing it without Brandon Ingram, and that's been the problem the whole time.
Yes.
The whole time is it seems like they can't play together.
I think at this point they honestly can't coexist.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
And I don't know how they move on from that, because they already missed their window. Trey Murphy has been insane. Trey Murphy is a guy I would love for the Pistons to go after.
Until we get to the Pistons episode,
I know.
I'm keeping all of my major thoughts to myself because.
But Trey Murphy's deal is over. Is it after this year or next year? I can't remember. It's coming up. I would be watchful for the Pistons. Save some money.
Can I throw out a random thought that I think is possible and could be crazy?
Go for it.
I think Golden State might be hitting their stride right now.
I tried to tell
you.
Near
the end of the season.
I've been trying to tell you.
At the very last minute. You can't tell me when they're hitting it at the very last minute.
No, but I told you, if they make it into the play-in game, I would be nervous for other team.
Okay, you were right about that. I didn't remember that one.
So I
think there's a chance they could get into the last spot.
Yeah.
And boy, that would be scary for Minnesota.
Yeah. Because I said
that would be scary.
So what I said a couple weeks ago, and might have been a month ago, I said if the Lakers and Warriors get in, now they might end up having to play each other now, but if they get into the play-in and they make it to the playoff series, at the time it was Minnesota and OKC. And I said those two young teams would be scared to play the two veterans.
If they
got to
play Denver, that's a different thing.
Right. I agree 100%. Yeah. If they play Denver, I don't give them as much of a chance. But if one of those two teams plays one of the young teams, then I'd be nervous. Especially like you said, the Warriors above the Lakers because the Lakers are a little more wishy-washy. But the Warriors, when they get going, and they just – we just talked about it. They broke a record for three-point percentage in a game.
Yeah.
They hit,
it was like 62 or 63%.
Yeah, 26 of 41 or something like that. That's crazy. Draymond Green started the game, like you said. You said
5 of 5 from 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steph Curry went 6 of 6. Klay Thompson had the worst shooting. He was 5 of 10 from 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they get going, and I feel like Jonathan Kuminga's kind of figured his role out a little bit more with that team. The only one that hasn't figured it out is Andrew Wiggins. He's still kind of the one that's struggling.
He's been playing better lately, mm-hmm. like very recently. I think a move they need to make is it's too late to like make a actual move, but I think Jonathan Kuminga doesn't fit with what they want to do.
Okay.
Whenever he is like doing individual things, he looks really good
mm-hmm.
and his talent has improved, but I don't think he helps Golden State win at all.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't think he does.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part, too, This was another draft day call. I don't know if you remember, but I can bring up the tape if I needed to. Trace Jackson Davis has given them meaningful minutes.
Yeah.
And I loved that draft pick at the end of basically the end of the draft. I liked it. I thought he was a little underrated. I know people thought, you know, he's a Big Ten guy that I think people didn't realize how athletic he is, I think, and maybe thought that he was more of just a post-up kind of guy, which, I mean, at the end of the day, he is for his offense, but he moves with the ball well, and he's not just some statue big man out there. So he's given them a lot of good minutes. So, yeah, I would agree. I think the Warriors could be that dangerous team moving along. The weird part is still in the play-in scenario is Phoenix, Sacramento, L.A., and Golden State. All, like, former top teams. And they're going to be all playing for the play-in. I think that's going to be interesting.
I have a question about the East. Okay. Since the West is obviously pretty stacked and mm-hmm. there's interesting stuff all up and down, is this one of the worst Eastern conferences in a while?
Probably not statistically.
Milwaukee has not been very good under Doc Rivers.
No, they have not.
I don't know who has faith in Cleveland. Do you?
No, I...
Okay.
No.
The Knicks lost Julius Randle. Yep. I like the Knicks a lot. Mm-hmm. Jalen Brunson might be my favorite player in basketball right now.
Yeah.
But they're not making a run. Orlando's too young.
Mm-hmm.
They're good. They've improved a ton. Good for them. But they're not ready. Indiana's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tyrese Halliburton has really fallen off
yeah.
since that stretch where everybody was saying, like, he's one of those new young superstars.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard a word about him in months.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, since the All-Star break, I really haven't heard anything about him.
Yeah. And you forget that Pascal Siakam is on that team because, I mean, maybe part of it is because they're the Pacers. They don't get a lot of coverage. But at the same time, you think that that would have been the move that put them over the top. You would have talked about him more, but they don't.
Philly just got Embiid back.
Yeah, but he kind of... He almost hurt himself again,
yeah,
which was scary. And they had to go into double overtime to beat the Spurs. So I don't know how that is.
I personally would have just shut them down for the rest of the year. But I don't know if they think they can make some type of run with Nick Batum starting at the three
mm-hmm.
and old Kyle Lowry at the one and no real bench.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. While we're on this, since we're talking about the Sixers and they played the Spurs, what is your take on Victor Wembanyama? Like, what is the update here? Because
did you see the new commercial Nike posted on social media?
The one with like his logo? Are you saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the best.
Like, saw like parts of it.
It's one of the best like first introducing logos of a superstar I've ever mm-hmm. seen. That yeah. alien logo with the two checks is incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty. People were ranking it among like top logos. And the only one that I saw people saying was better was Jordan's logo, which makes sense. It's iconic. It's clean.
Yeah, it looks amazing. But in terms of him as a player, he keeps doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps doing things.
Yeah, he's doing stuff.
That don't compute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you saw it in 2K, it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
You would call it cheating.
Yeah.
That scoop dunk
mm-hmm.
where he spun off, went under with his left arm and still dunked it.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, and then I think last night or maybe a couple nights ago, he did a left to right cross behind the back, which is basically like a Jamal Crawford move. Like, you go left to right, you're moving to your right, and then you go behind the back, back to the left, so you get the defender off balance. You go back left, and he jams it. I'm like,
I've seen him do that. I've seen him do crossover dribbles at the top of the key into like step back threes.
Mm-hmm.
He did another Sham God last night.
Yeah. Like, he's just playing with people. He's just playing around.
There's no way to explain what this young dude
mm-hmm.
can be.
Right.
He's averaging 20 and 10 right now. His numbers have improved throughout the season.
Yeah.
I just... By the end of his second season, what will he be?
Mm-hmm.
By the end of next season.
Yeah.
Like, will he be a top 10 player already?
He's got to be. He's got to be. And the other thing, and I know we don't want to bring it up all the time, but just imagine if he was a Piston. How much different I think things would be.
Why do you bring this? I don't understand.
Because it
there's the, thinking about this does nothing.
Because again, it's going to, we're all putting it into the world. We got screwed in the NBA lottery, and watch, we're going to get the number one pick this year in one of the worst draft classes of all time. I'm just saying.
What if the Pistons didn't draft like most of the bums they drafted in the past 15 years?
Yeah, that's
what if they didn't do that?
That's a super valid point, but I'm just saying.
What if they didn't sign Ben Gordon in 2010?
they had a draft with a consensus number one, and they missed it. Like the other drafts.
They didn't miss it. They just couldn't get it.
That's what
There's
I mean.
A difference.
That's what I
mean. Yeah.
But like.
Like the they missed on Stanley Johnson.
Right. The other drafts, you're like, okay, well, they thought this
they
guy
missed
was
on
better.
The French kid.
Yeah.
Whose but name like, I won't even say anymore.
But it's just like, ugh. That stuff's frustrating.
The more frustrating one is Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
Because he was there.
But
it
even,
was possible.
Even when we got Cade. The disappointing thing about that number one pick was we knew Cade was really good, but we also weren't sure if he would be like a generational talent. And that was like a disappointing.
I think most picks you're not sure. There's only a few throughout history where it's like this guy's generational.
Right.
Like the Victors, the LeBrons.
Mm-hmm.
It's those levels of prospects. Like you can't name many.
Right.
Zion was seen as generational.
Mm-hmm.
He might not be that at this point. He'll just be like a high-level all-star.
Right.
But his talent was generational.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just slightly disappointing. Okay, we can get back to the East a little bit. Because at the bottom of the East for the play-in is all these teams that kind of like experimented for a while.
How frustrating is Miami? That they just don't care about the regular season.
Yeah, I don't know. They're playing around.
They might just get back to the Eastern Conference Finals again.
They could.
Jimmy Butler just like doesn't care about scoring during the regular season.
Mm-hmm. But
it's so strange.
I'd be nervous to play around too much. But like you look at Chicago, failed experiment. Supposedly Lonzo Ball is supposed to be able to play again. I'm not so sure. Atlanta, they went out and got DeJounte Murray.
They're stuck in a weird place right now.
They traded away John Collins. None of it's worked out.
Like you have a point guard averaging like 27 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
You have another guy that's a borderline all-star. You don't really know how to play with either of them.
Yeah.
Clint Capella's time is running out.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre, a lot of the young guys you've drafted just haven't hit.
Yep.
They're not in a great place.
Yeah. And then you have like Toronto traded away all their assets. They got rid of Van Fleet. They got rid of Pascal Siakam. They're kind of hitting reset. Brooklyn. Jeez, Brooklyn.
They're in a horrible place. Oh, my God.
They gave the bag to Cameron Johnson.
Is Brooklyn's situation worse than the Pistons?
I don't
think. In terms of, like, you don't have draft picks.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, what does Brooklyn have to look forward to?
Yeah.
At least the Pistons have had one of the worst seasons. Talent-wise, they're not one of the worst teams ever. Mm-hmm. They've had one of like the five worst seasons in NBA history.
Yeah.
We still have players that we could look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn does. They don't have.
They have Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Cam Thomas.
Do they think Cam Thomas is going to be there?
Yeah, I don't know. Nick Claxton's like, turned into a pretty good player, but.
Come on.
No, I know.
You had Jared Allen.
Right. Well, that's a whole different story.
They had Jared Allen.
That's a whole different story.
Like, the Nets fans that actually exists, like, my God, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
In terms of a future, there is none.
Yeah. I don't know if they're in a worse spot necessarily, but.
Honestly, Washington is worse.
Yeah, I think Washington might be.
Washington has less talent than Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. They're terrible, and they know their franchise can't make good draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Denny Avdia is looking like the best draft pick you've made in the past decade.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, Charlotte looks like they might be okay. If they can get LaMelo Ball to stay healthy for once, that'll be the hardest part. But, like, they might be okay.
I think LaMelo
is going to be like Lonzo. You think it's the big baller brand shoes?
I think he could be overrated soon.
Think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
His style of play,
mm-hmm.
it's not comparable to Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
But there's a thing about when you watch LaMelo. A part of it is Charlotte, 100%.
Yeah.
But you watch, like, you would watch Russell Westbrook put up incredible performances.
Yeah.
And their teams would barely be winning.
Yeah.
He would have to, like, force them to wins.
He's.
And their rosters wouldn't be awful.
I wouldn't. You could compare LaMelo, like, a little bit.
If, like, LaMelo, he's going to have a bunch of games with really nice stats.
Yeah.
And I think the team just isn't going to play very well.
He borderline.
He's not Tyrese Halliburton.
Gives me a little bit of a Jordan Poole vibe, too.
Oh, boy. Now we're getting in the dirt now.
Not as, like,
the LaMelo slander podcast.
Not as crazy, but, like, he gets a little loose with the ball sometimes.
Absolutely. There's still too much street ball in him.
Yeah.
And that's a part of his game and why he's so good.
Yeah. I think he's more talent, and I think he can figure it out. But yeah. I do agree with some of your
if
points.
If you flip LaMelo and Tyrese Halliburton, I don't know if Indiana still wins this many games.
Yeah. Again, I think the hardest part is that he's just been hurt and he can't stay healthy.
I think Charlotte has more wins than Tyrese.
Okay. Interesting.
So just a little small, very small tidbit of a controversial statement.
I didn't even realize the playoffs are technically set. It's just all seeding.
Yeah.
So nobody's fighting for position anymore. Okay. Interesting. So Pistons.
Would you say Washington is in the worst position of anybody?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Because they don't have players that you feel like you can build around. Even with guys like Denny, he's good, but I don't know if he's a build around kind of guy. Kyle Kuzma, we knew, was just, you know, to get some butts in the seats. Because he's a good player, but he can't be your number one guy.
Jordan Poole was the same thing.
Right. Can't be your number one guy. Corey Kispert seems like he's going to be a solid role player. He could be a starter. Like, Denny and Corey could be starters, but they can't be your number one, number two options. And besides that, they got, like, their roster list is just as long as the Pistons, basically. So, but the Pistons, I feel like, still have some more hope with who they have on the roster. Having Cade there makes you feel like there's something that they can do with the roster. I don't know. NBA is kind of a mess. Again, I can't wait to get Chris on, and we have to do a whole Pistons show. Wow, that took up a lot of time. Talked about the NBA a little more than I thought, which is fine. The last thing I wanted to mention was Tigers baseball has started. We're not much of a baseball podcast.
If they play well and continue to improve.
I feel like we say this exact statement at the beginning of every season.
But it's true.
It is.
They don't look like a complete mess right now.
Yeah, they're 7-4.
Even though they're a half team.
Yeah, they're 7-4.
Yeah.
They started the season 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
And their pitching is good.
Pitching is pretty good, really good at times.
Their bats are non-existent, basically. They're winning games 2-1.
Shouts out to Spencer Torkelson.
Yeah.
Not really doing much.
Shout out to Javi Baez and his contract.
We're not going to talk about that ghost of a player. He's like Darren Williams in Cleveland, basketball equivalent.
Dang.
Yeah, shouts out to Riley Green.
Yeah.
Barely hit making contact.
Mm-hmm.
Just shouts out to all these guys.
Yeah.
Not doing their jobs.
You remember, like, 2 years ago when people were excited about Akil Badu?
Listen, talk about one of the greatest short stints in baseball history.
Yeah, that was a lovely
time.
The
Akil Badu hype train.
Yeah. Red Wings are on the verge of trying to make the playoffs, but I forgot what the score was last night. Yeah, they lost to the Capitals, though, 2-1, which was a huge game for them to try to get into the playoffs. They're not out of it by any means, but now they play, I think they play the Penguins next. Let me pull this up just so we can keep our tabs on the other Detroit teams. Yeah, they play the Penguins on Thursday, and the Penguins are tied with the Red Wings in points. And so that's a huge game to win to stay up in the wild card. To make the playoffs. Then they play the Maple Leafs, which are a really good team. And then they end the season with two games against the Canadiens, who are not a very good team. But if they drop those games, most likely we miss the playoffs. So if you're hoping for any playoff hockey, it's getting real tough. But there's still a chance. So we'll see. So there's hockey going on. There's baseball going on. And this weekend, the Masters. One of the only few golf events that I watch the entirety of it. I watch it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Obviously, with work, I don't get to watch as much on Thursday and Friday. But I try to tune in as much as I can. And then the weekend, I basically binge and sit there and watch the entire thing. Call me crazy, but I don't know.
As my golf watching might go as far as watching Happy Gilmore and maybe some Tiger Woods highlights.
Yeah.
That's probably as far as it'll go. Yeah. Also, with the Tigers, if they stay good, I say we make at least one mention of a player or something notable a week.
Yeah.
Shouts out to, how's it pronounced? Tarek Skubal? How do you pronounce his first name?
Yeah, I think it's Tarek Skubal.
Tarek
Skubal.
Tarek Skubal is one of the better pitchers in baseball right now.
Mm-hmm.
To start, at least.
Yeah.
2.92 ERA, 15 Ks, 1-0.
Yep. He was one of our young talents from a few years ago. The big one is Casey Mize, if he's going to work out or not.
Yeah.
Jury's still out. He's had his injuries. But unfortunately, he might not be that guy, which stinks because that was a big potential that we thought drafting him.
4.82 ERA so far.
Yeah.
6 Ks, 1.39 whip.
Yeah, so the Tigers are catching up to the Lions, or the Lions, the Pistons in missed draft picks recently. So if Torque can't get going, if Casey Mize ends up not being the guy, might be tough. But they do have a lot of young pitchers. They got some good guys in there. Their bullpen has actually been really good. They got Andrew Chafin now. I think he's kind of their reliever for like 7-8 innings. I don't know who their closer is at the moment. Again, I haven't done enough research, but
it's not Jason Foley, is it? I can't remember. I think Alex Lang has been there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's been their closer for a lot of games.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try to.
I could be wrong.
I'll try to up my baseball.
But I've seen Alex Lang finish several games.
Okay. So yeah, we'll try to mix in some things. Next week, we might do some NFL draft talk a little bit.
Yeah, just the beginning with the show coming up.
We can talk about some prospects and things like that, some guys. And then the show after that will be the mock draft and everything. So that's going to be a fun one. NBA getting closer to the playoffs. College basketball, unfortunately, over. So our college sports are done for the season. We could have talked about women's college basketball if you wanted, but we could talk.
I'm ashamed of myself for not bringing that up.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But Caitlin Clark was taken down.
Yeah.
Dawn Staley got it done.
No surprise to me, honest. Yeah. The Caitlin Clark hype is fun, but South Carolina is a whole different beast. We could do a WNBA mock draft if you want next week. Okay. Never mind. All right. This has been Views from the Sidelines. We'll see you guys next time.
Maybe the top three picks? That's probably.
That's too much.
We know Caitlin is one. We know Caitlin is one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see.